Welcome to the Finish Line, powered by Home Rate Mortgage on 101.3 The Buzz. Jamie Kyle, Jason Hildebrand, Scott Webb, hanging out.
This is a little angry in here earlier, so I thought I'd go with some angry music. I like it.
There's some copperhead talk, wood talk, oak wood talk.
Yeah.
So, very good. Want to start out, you notice we didn't mention Arnold Tarpley. Arnold had a little episode with us last Friday. And we'll be out for a couple of weeks. So, Arnold, I know you were listening. So, hope you feel better, buddy.
It was just on the Google Doc a little bit ago.
And you know what's sad about it? I was checking his Twitter account, and he was talking about Friday is great. This is a great day, you know. And I'm like, yeah. Next thing you know, hey guys, I probably won't be there next week. I just had a heart attack. Yeah. I'm like, what? Why are you telling me on Friday? Worry about yourself, buddy.
And I was telling him, the text was so like, you know, it was, hey guys, guess what? Not gonna be there, just had a heart attack, I'm good, you know. And it's like so nonchalant about what he's saying, I'd be freaking out.
I just had the surgery. I love you guys and all, but I don't know if you're like what my third or fourth
text first contact there, you know.
Well, you know, Ronald just called it Aaron, whatever,
Aaron Hayden, you know what,
yeah,
I mean.
Aaron Hayden, here I am calling him Ronald, but Arnold, you know, he is the radio guy of Cleveland, Tennessee, so he has to text a lot of people and let them know he's not going to be there. All right, I'm sure he'll call in.
Yeah, good. Hope for a speedy recovery, buddy.
Yeah, big time.
Absolutely.
I'm going to look forward to seeing him at the YMCA at 5:30 every morning from now on. You know, maybe they'll have to miss his morning coffee, but he'll need to be there so he can get better. All right, road course racing. That was kind of gave everybody a heart attack at the end, and a lot of fans, you know, really liked the road course racing. And I put in here that I believe it's my new favorite. And why? I think because of a lot of the beating and banging, the strategy that goes along with it. And then we had some fireworks at the end. I know, Jason, you come in and said some things or whatever in the past couple of days over text about road course racing and liking it. This is something new for NASCAR because it hadn't seemed like it's been that popular in the past.
Well, you know, I've always loved it. I've always thought it was intriguing because of the simple fact that I think it takes a different skill set than to go out there and run the thing at 200 miles an hour just making left turn after left turn after left turn. You know, you see guys that are out there that are really masters of this. I mean, you look at like a Jimmy Johnson, a Jeff Gordon, a Tony Stewart, those type of guys. And like I said, I think it takes a special talent to go out there and do it. In the past, and you've looked at just NASCAR as a whole, the NASCAR fans as a whole, there's not been a whole lot of, you know, folks that have liked road courses, just from the people that I've talked to over my 41 years. But I've always loved it because it's different. I think you're seeing that pick up a little bit more momentum now. And I'm telling you, guys, I think it's a derivative of the racing being so bad out there. You can't pass. You're just going out there making green flag runs. But I think people are warming up to the road courses. Just my opinion.
I think so, too. And one of the things you saw, I mean, of course, it was sold out, which is a first.
Second year in a row is sold out.
Yeah, and I mean, that's up in New York. So it's not like you're talking about racing being from the South and that's where it's most popular, because those are the tracks that you're not seeing a lot of people at. You get up to New York, you get up to some of these places in the Midwest and stuff like that, that's where you're seeing the majority of people. But, Scott, as far as the racing, we knew they had a new surface up there. You knew they paved it. You knew that was going to be something that was going to be different. Was that kind of the neutralizer, you think, between everybody, or do you?
Well, I think we've seen better Watkins Glens in the past.
Definitely.
And a lot of that had to do with a combination of not only the new surface on the track, but in conjunction with that and the new tire that they had to bring because of the surface was so abrasive. They brought a harder compound tire.
And a tower.
And it made, you know, for a very slick track. And I don't know that we saw quite the quality of racing we've seen there in the past. But all in all, you know, it's, for me, it's become the new short track. You know, this is the way short track, you know, a lot of banging and bumping. And that's the way we grew up mm-hmm. watching short track racing. That's really what road course racing has evolved into over the course of the last couple of years. So it's been, the race was not as good as it has been, but it was, you know, better than most.
And don't you think, Scott, you know, we're talking about the banging and things like that, the ability for someone to gain and to be able to be in position to pass folks for leads. That's not something that we see every week in this new package in the past couple of years in NASCAR.
No, that dirty word we've used, clean air, mm-hmm. a lot, is really the aerodynamics have become such a factor and being able to win races and get out front. And we've seen better racing this year with some of the packages. But, you know, this is the type of track where aerodynamics doesn't mean a lot. I mean, Joey Logano finished second. He had, you know, half his car was dented in on the front. You know, he's talking about he didn't have to worry about the spoiler being on the ground. He was worried about it not cutting a tire there at the end. So, you know, we got to see a little more beating and banging, and it made for, although not as, it wasn't as good as it has been. It's still a better product than most weeks.
Definitely. So several drivers had, well, I want to say continued their run of kind of bad luck. You had the 48 car who had some issues again, got caught up in a wreck.
Guys, wasn't just a wreck. That was a wasn't a collision. Was it Ricky Stenhouse that he hit?
And yeah. And the lesson was, Scott, what happens when you run back there around those guys?
When you're back there in that stuff. I mean, and he's back there because of two penalties on pit road.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you put yourself in that situation, and that's what happens. Now, you know, that could have been a disastrous wreck because he absolutely collected the side of Stenhouse's car. Luckily, he hit the passenger side and not the driver's side. There wasn't anything Jimmy could have done the way Stenhouse bounced there. But, it is the problem. Harvick getting a similar situation where you put yourself back there in the junk. And it's gonna in more times than not, it's gonna, you know, that's where the accidents happen, and it caught up Jimmy Johnson again this week.
Well, one thing about Kevin Harvick is I haven't been able to look at the points, but I'm sure we'll talk about it in a second. But has dropped out of the first spot in the points because of the way he's been racing. Yeah, Brad Keselowski has took over the lead. Kevin Harvick now in second, and that's a position that he's held all year. It seems like he's been fairly consistent, but a couple of bad runs has kind of killed him. Alex Hayden said something about that they're not sharing information anymore as far as Rick Hendrick.
That makes sense.
And you think, is that something that's going to affect them? I'm talking about SHR down the stretch when it comes to the chase.
I don't think they've been sharing information since they made that announcement. They were moving to Ford. So that was a long time ago. So that car's still been plenty fast enough to win races. But to me, this year has kind of mirrored last year in terms of Harvick, where he gets off to a great start, gets a win earlier in the year, has a lot of top five finishes, you know, 17 top 10 finishes, 9 top five finishes, but the consistency, where's the wins? You know, you look at Keselowski, who's on top of the standings right now, he's got 4 wins. Harvick has been fast, maybe the fastest, most consistent car over the course of the last 8 to 10 weeks, but there's no wins there. You know, that's the problem they got into last year, where they weren't winning races. And they've got to be able to find a cure for that if they're going to win a championship this year, because those Toyota cars, they're winning races. And when you win races in the chase, you automatically put yourself into the next round. And you've got to be able to win races and be out front.
Jason, one of the things is he's been very inconsistent. Well, not consistent as far as his actions, Kevin Harvick.
Yeah.
Yelling at his team a lot. You've had Rodney Childers get suspended for a race. Had another crew member this past week that got suspended indefinitely because of the substance abuse.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot going on with him and his crew chief and his crew that I think is making a little bit of a difference.
Yeah, and a lot of that you could see is you chalk it up. That would be frustrating for a driver.
Yeah.
Okay, you've got all these outside things going on, and I think it comes from you're not picking up those wins. Even though you're running top five most every single week and you're a contender out there, you're good off the trailer and qualifying, you're good out there, but you're just not closing the deal like we saw him do 2 years ago. Last year, and Scott said, so reminiscent of what happened last year, you pick up a win and you're cruising along, but you're not picking up those additional wins.
Yeah, I think that's huge. All right, let's move to the last lap of the race on Sunday, which turned into be pretty entertaining. I know Jason, you know, said 2 red flags at a road course,
yeah,
which was kind of crazy or whatever, with the wrecks that they had, and those, of course, were the wrecks that Jimmy Johnson and Kevin Harvick were tied up in. But the last lap, you knew it kind of had to be, it was going to be nuts. Because one thing I noticed about Kyle Busch is Kyle Busch is not scared to push the envelope on a restart to try to get somewhere. And it's almost like that kind of sets the tone for the remainder of that lap, mm-hmm, until things get straightened out. But we come around to the last corner and you've got A.J. Allmendinger, who in my opinion is a punk that knows it's his only opportunity to win, mm-hmm, at a road course because he can't win anywhere else. And yet he's going to push people out of the way in order to get there. he spins out Kyle Larson for no reason, and really throughout the race kind of raced him bad. And then you had the whole Brad Keselowski into the 78 car. So it was pretty eventful, Jason, last lap.
Yeah, you knew coming to that last turn that somebody was going to get turned. I mean, it's the bottom line. So either Truex is going to get Hamlin, or Keselowski is going to get Truex. So we saw who got what. Right. But then you saw Larson kind of, as Hamlin was coming across the start-finish line, you saw Larson's car going down pit road. I'm like, what's going on back here?
He hit that wall hard,
too. He did. But you knew something was going to happen there. And Truex was none too happy with Keselowski. And, you know, it's racing. It's racing hard. And you're trying to get points leads. You're doing whatever you can to put yourself in the best position to win a championship. And it happens.
You know,
if Truex could have gotten to Hamlin, he would have turned him. And he would have bumped him like his last.
Exactly. Scott, one of the things I wanted to ask you about with A.J. Allmendinger, how can you – I mean, well, let's see how to phrase this right, because I don't want to act like I hate the guy altogether, but
– I picked him.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. Because I'm going to take his side of the story.
I figured you would. So it's a good thing I can't see you either through this computer, it's one of those things.
Listen, the whole thing started going into the last turn when Martin Truex was trying to win a race, and he took it out a little wide. Came across and, you know, could have Keselowski slammed on the brakes and not caused an accident? Maybe. Maybe he could have. But, I mean, he's trying to advance his position as well. So, sure, he could have got on the brake and finished third. Or he could have tried to move it, or he just sat in the gas and spun him out. Now, it ended up, he ended up finishing third anyway, because Logano ended up passing him and finishing second, Keselowski. But that's, I mean, it's a racing deal down, you know, in the corner. I don't, he's not maliciously trying to turn him at any point in time during the race. It's the last corner. Truex makes a move, can't finish the move, happens to come down in front of Keselowski, and he didn't get out of the gas, and I don't blame him for it. And then that wreck caused the incident that happened behind it when Larson got spun by Allmendinger.
But my thing is, you're not going for the win there. You are not. Allmendinger was not going for the win.
Every position matters.
Not when you're 45th in points like Allmendinger.
Every position matters. If I'm playing, if I'm driving and I got a chance to finish third instead of fourth, I'm going to try to win.
You're gonna move the guy.
I don't know that he intentionally moved him, but, you know, when Larson checks up, again, in the last corner of the race, he gets bumped out of the way by Allmendinger.
And you know, the deal with Keselowski, like you said, he could have checked up. But I mean, what's the point of your reaction there? I mean, he closed in so quick on Truex.
Right.
What are you to do at that point? There's nothing you can do.
I don't really have a problem as much with Keselowski and Truex, because it looked like Truex missed his opportunity, or maybe wasn't going to get to Denny Hamlin anyway, yeah, but was trying something different, and Brad just guessed wrong. I do like the fact that Brad was actually...
I don't even know if he guessed wrong. I mean,
I don't think he had it.
I don't have any... You know, there wasn't a whole lot he could do there other than slam on the brakes and finish fifth.
Right.
You know, so he didn't.
Well, he tried to go high, and he was going to come down underneath him.
Well, and part of that was because Truex was all over the place. Right. Truex took it wide into that final. You know, they got a left-hand turn. They go up a little short stretch, and then mm-hmm. they go back to the right to go down the front stretch. And Truex took it really wide coming off that left-hand turn. And then, you know, and when he tried to recover, you know, going to make that final right-hand turn, he couldn't quite get it where he was. Keselowski had the position. And he didn't check up. He just moved him out of the way. So he can be upset and as frustrated as he wants to be, but Martin Truex is just as responsible. It's a racing deal. It doesn't upset me. It's a racing deal.
He said as much on his interview, and then act like he downplayed Keselowski's apology. But normally you don't get an apology from Keselowski. Normally he just goes on.
He should have apologized.
I don't have any problem if he didn't apologize. Now, I will say this. You know, A.J. Allmendinger was all upset after the race was over, that he ended up...
Because he knew Kyle Larson was going to come kick his tail.
I doubt
Larson,
that.
Yeah, come on.
They're both
Larson's
the same
like
size.
About 5'6", about a buck 20.
I'm taking Allmendinger.
Yeah, neither one of those guys are I mean, you know, that
been a midget fight.
Yeah, that's... Sorry, I don't think there's anybody that's
There's no
overly,
Jimmy Spencer coming out
yeah,
of that
there's
car.
Nobody,
you know?
coming out of that. But, you know, Allmendinger had, you know, he felt bad about it. But, you know, it's one of those deals. They checked up in front of him, and you know, he didn't really have a whole lot, you know, they went a lot of room for error.
Well, the person that got to watch all this from the rearview mirror was Denny Hamlin, got his second win of the year at Watkins Glen with back spasms, too. I don't know if that's something that's going to affect him throughout the rest of the year, but didn't look too good going into to victory lane. But nonetheless, got a second win. Let's hear from Denny Hamlin.
Denny Hamlin couldn't drive the race car to victory lane, so he had to walk. But you were walking gingerly. Why?
I just woke up with back spasms. It's just, it hits me every 3 or 4 months or so. I just wake up and I can't move. And really doubted being in the race car today, to be honest with you. But, I mean, can't say enough this whole FedEx Freight Toyota team. This is just, should have won both road courses, which is something we never would have predicted going into the year. But, I got to thank all my partners, Toyota and FedEx especially, but Sprint and Coke and Jordan Brand and the Greenbrier, Sport Clips and the fans. I mean, sold out crowd 2 years in a row. Just, you know, this is a good sign. I finally have won at all the racetracks, and so it's a great accomplishment for us.
I was going to ask, you fought through the pain, but I remember in Sonoma one of the most difficult things for you was the fact that you still hadn't won a road course race. Now you have. What does that mean to you?
It means a lot. I mean, I can't tell you how disappointed I was that we didn't win the first one. And, I just tried the best I could and, overshot the corner. And I didn't want to do it this time. And so I probably underdrove and let those guys get a little closer than what I should have. But hated to see the 78 turned around there. They've been great Toyota teammates of ours. And thanks to all of our teammates who tested here and obviously gave us a good baseline setup and a fast car.
Lap 49. That was your final pit stop. How were you able to go the distance on fuel?
Cautions. I just felt like, this race is always trended to be a lot of cautions at the end. And I felt confident that we were going to get the caution laps we needed to make it on fuel, and we did.
What were those closing laps like in those restarts?
Hectic. I mean, really, I didn't do anything special. It's just that the front two cars, the 2 and the 18, just overshot the corner on that one restart and gave us an opportunity. And then it was about just hitting my marks and making sure I didn't give those guys a chance like I gave Tony a chance at Sonoma. So, really proud of this effort. I mean, this is a great sign of things to come. I feel like we'll be a good threat in the chase.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Denny Hamlin will have a good starting spot in the chase as he has the second most wins out of everybody that will be in the chase now. All right, we need to go to break. When we come back, a lot of news this week that we need to go over and talk about some exciting news for One Furniture Row Racing after kind of a crazy end at Watkins Glen. So we'll talk about that when we come back. You're listening to The Finish Line, powered by Home Rate Mortgage on 101.3
The Buzz.
MLS 223. What would you do with all that cash? Listen up, y'all. Ben Phillips here. Home Rate Mortgage. 805-9100. $1,200. That's how much we just put back in a Saudi Daisy family's pocket per month. All they did was pick up the phone. 805-9100. That's 805-9100. Get that quick quote now. 805-9100. HomeRateMortgage.com.
Y'all step back to 1864 and relive the South's finest hour. Witness a moving performance and dig into the greatest Southern recipes direct from the Confederate White House. Loads of fun food and unfiltered Southern history. The Button Willow Civil War Dinner Theater is just minutes from Chattanooga. Y'all got a call for reservations, 658-7478. We're straightening out Yankees one at a time.
Hey folks, Dale from Dale's Heating Air. We all know things work better when they are maintained and serviced on a regular basis. Your car, your yard, even relationships. Well, your heating and air system is no different. When is the last time your heating and air conditioning was serviced? Can't remember? Well, spring is just around the corner and warm weather will be here soon. What's that mean for your heating and air conditioning system? It means it's time to call Dale's Heating and Air to make sure old man winter didn't take its toll and your air conditioning is ready to keep your family cool and comfortable this season. When your heating and air conditioning is working at its best, you get the comfort you want, save money, and your system will last longer. Now is the best time to call Dale's Heating and Air to schedule maintenance on your heating and air conditioning system. For service you can trust, just call Dale's. 236-4600. That's 236-4600 or online at justcalldales.com.
MLS 2239.
Do you want to achieve the American dream in 2016? Listen up, y'all. I'm Ben Phillips with Home Rate Mortgage, 805-9100. We just helped a police officer purchase his first home in East Brainerd. Now he's grilling and chilling on his back deck. The American dream. You could achieve it with no money down options. Why wouldn't you call? 805-9100, HomeRateMortgage.com.
Welcome back to The Finish Line, powered by Home Rate Mortgage on 101.3 The Buzz. Wow.
Yeah, some idiot currently climbing Trump Towers in New York with only suction cups while avoiding police. I don't know what
smart
it's going
guy.
On.
He may have stole the suction cups from the U.S. Olympic team who's been suction cupping their muscles, which is something I need to do. So I got no comment. One of those things. All right, we are back and got some news and notes to go over. There was a bunch of news that went down this week. Some of the top news, and we can hit that in just a second. But Dale Jr. did have a press conference on Friday, kind of talking about the concussion and stuff like that. Guys, I really didn't get anything new out of that other than the fact that he didn't throw a timeline, on when he was going to come back. He did talk about wanting to come back and fulfill his contract. There's a lot of people that tell me he's coming back. I just don't get that right now.
You and Adam Hearn have been sitting around talking to one another, haven't you?
I haven't talked to Adam in a while.
He's dealing with a – if he'd have blew out his knee or had a bad back or something along those lines, nobody would be questioning whether or not he's coming back. When he gets healthy enough, he'll come back, and he's making progress and he's doing the things. One of the reasons why, for those of you that listen to the Dale Jr. Download.
That's you.
One of the reasons why he did the event last Friday was because that's what his doctor wanted him to do. They wanted to put him out there in a situation where he had to deal with some of the stimuli that's out there that happens.
That's a big word for you, stimuli?
And, yeah.
You don't teach science, do you?
No, not at all. So it was part of his therapy is to get out back there, to get back out there in front of people and do those types of things and be involved in the process. And he's hoping, I'm almost to the point now where I'm beginning to wonder whether or not he'll race again this year. Whether or not it's important enough for him to get all the way back in the car this year. But in terms of being done racing, there's a lot of things is going to have to take place for that to happen. Because you can listen to him the way he said that interview, the way he was on the Download last week when he was talking about it. This guy still has a passion to drive the car, and he's going to be back in it.
Yeah, and I would go over to the longtime Dale Jr. fan who's been on the fence for the past couple of years and get his opinion. But
We're trying to keep the mood, tranquil today.
Yeah, we want to kind of be positive in a certain way. That's all he has to say.
That was it.
That's good. Right, thanks, Jason. I'm glad we asked him.
It is what it is. He's dealing with an injury. You take it easy, okay? You weren't running good anyways.
They may have backdoored into the chase, and it's not like he's missing anything.
Yeah.
Let somebody else figure out what's going on with the car and come back next year.
I'm in total agreement. This has been a bad year. It's been a real bad year for that team, in my opinion. You put even Jeff Gordon in there, who isn't running great in the car.
He's been out for 6 months.
Yeah, but don't you think that kind of...
feedback?
It kind of... tells you where that organization
is
right
now.
Yeah, and
that's where I was going. It's not very good.
Right. You look at the whole organization. Everybody there is struggling. It's not like it's just the 88 car. Mm-hmm. They just got to figure some things out, and it may take another year. It may take the rest of the year. Mm-hmm. And it may take, it could be, we forget that it wasn't till Kentucky last year that we talked about on this program. Last year, man, the Toyotas are struggling. Man, they're struggling. And then
Kyle Busch came back.
And then Kyle Busch came back, and then everything started changing. That momentum changed, mm-hmm. and he wins a championship. And they start the year hot again this year. This sport seems to work in cycles, and it's one of those cycles where the Toyotas are very strong right now. We'll have a change again. It's going to be interesting to see what happens again. I don't want to look too far down the road, but you got Stewart-Haas Racing going to Ford next year, so there's going to be more change and more evolution. But it's that organization as a whole is struggling, and they've got. I don't think any of them are a threat to win a championship. So they've got from now until the end of the year to work on getting that car, those cars, competitive, race in and race out.
And then NASCAR will change something.
You know, it's strange though. I mean, his situation must be really, really bad, guys. I mean, you think about it, because if you look at concussions in the National Football League, you don't see a guy out 8 weeks or however long because of concussions. I mean, it's usually a couple weeks under the concussion protocol. But you don't see something like this. And so, I mean, I don't know if they're just being overly, you know, cautious with
it. Is it overly cautious, Jason, or is it, and I'm not, you know, I'm not a doctor. Yeah. I don't even play one on TV. But, you know, he's had histories. He's had history of concussions in the past. You know, we had that, you know, how long has it been now? 3-4 years ago where he had to sit out several races as well. You know, I just wonder if they're erring kind of on the side of caution to make sure. I mean, I don't, at this point, he's probably still not healthy enough, but maybe, you know, they give him this extra time and they can, you know, he can get back on the right track.
I'm thinking this is all just kind of leading up to, I'm going to be out the rest of the year, get myself healthy and start fresh next year.
When Alex Hayden first mentioned that last week on the show here, that there was going to be a big announcement on Friday, then they, you know, come to find out Junior did the press conference. Mm-hmm. Didn't you? I mean, my thought was
retirement.
I didn't think retirement. I thought he's done for the year.
Yeah.
I thought he's going to pack it in and call. You know, they're just going to worry about getting healthy.
What's the point in coming back at this point?
What's the point in coming back? You know, the next question would be, to how long is Jeff Gordon going to drive it the rest of the year? Do they work on getting some of these developmental guys in the car and doing some things? You know, that would be my question. If it does turn out to be that, you know, do you need Jeff in that car the rest of the year, or do you take an opportunity to take some of your up and coming drivers and give them some experience and opportunity to be in the vehicle?
Carrie Earnhardt.
Come on.
That would be good.
Come on.
I will say this. I mean,
it's like
I
Scott Webb driving.
Or Jeffrey. One of the two.
I think if you have, you know, if you've got Gordon in there, at least he can give you good feedback on the car. One of the things that, and I text Alex Friday night when, or I guess it was Thursday night when they announced he was going to have it on
Friday. You guys like text buddies now?
We're not there yet. I mean, you know, it's just one of those things, informational purposes only. But I texted him and said, you were right. And then we kind of talked a little bit about what, you know, might happen and stuff like that. And he was kind of on the same boat as you, Scott, not saying you're right. But he was still pretty close
Smart
to where
people.
You were. But
Smart
to me,
people.
I don't know why you have to have a press conference to say, you know, I'm still going to be out. I mean, you just make that
but
announcement.
But see, I think what your the purpose of the press conference was really doctor driven. It was more therapy, getting him back in the environment that he's been used to and seeing how he reacts to all the stimulus that's happening in a press conference or at the track.
Well, he needs to walk through the Bristol garage and give autographs as well.
Right. So, you know, it's getting reacquainted to that type of stuff. And the doctors want him doing more of the things that he does on a normal basis so that the process can begin to heal and be not just sitting around in a dark room all day long, you know, wondering if it, you know, how am I going to get better?
How long is this going to last? I don't know. We spent a lot more time on this than I thought we would. But how long is this going to last? The brain is not something that's like a hamstring that you can throw some ice on. Mm-hmm. You know, the brain is something where you look at Troy Aikman, who had 6 or 8 concussions. I think he's still getting knocked out in the booth by Joe Buck. But, you know, you've got all these guys that have had that have had concussions, and they keep having concussions. If he stays out this year and Daytona has a big wreck, we could be talking about the same thing, you know, in March or April of next year when he's out again and we don't know how long he's going to be out. So that's my thing is I don't think this heals like a regular muscle. So, and we're not a doctor, so we won't know.
And I think everybody's different. I don't think that our doctors know all. I don't want to say they don't know enough about concussions. But it's not a cut and dry thing.
But they don't know enough about concussions.
Yeah, but I mean, you can sit and look and see, yeah, you've got a torn muscle. You can look at this and say, yeah, you've got a broken arm. But this, I don't know.
Right.
So I think it's just a play it by ear thing, how you feeling. And if I'm him, I'd just throw in the towel for the rest of the year.
Yeah,
you're not going to gain anything.
Regardless, yeah. I think at the end of 17, he's
don't
probably
come back to Talladega for sure.
Yeah, that wouldn't be good. Yeah. All right, big news of the week as well was, we had Bristol. Bristol made the announcement that they have put some stickums that they use, is what I call them, on the drag strips up there and around the country, and wore the tires, did the tire thing similar to what Kentucky did with a new pave. So trying to work in the bottom groove. You got to appreciate their efforts. I know, Jason, before we come on the air, you were still like, it's probably going to be the same old thing. It may be, but then it may free up some people to get down there. Because the one thing I'll say is the drivers, I want to say union, or the drivers, whatever they call that.
The council
has come a long way, and NASCAR has really listened to them. That's a suggestion that they had had, and they went up there. Dale Jr. was part of it that worked with them on getting that done.
Yeah, I hope it's a better racing for the fans that are up there. I mean, I really think they deserve it. I really think it's sad when you see, used to be the hottest ticket in NASCAR, and you see it, for this race, not so much the spring race, but for the fall race. No, it's not fall yet, but the August race. God, I wish it was fall. I'm tired of
it. It's not fall.
Yeah, true.
Not even close to fall.
But you want to see a jam-packed house up there. And,
right.
And it'd be good. It'd be good for, Bruton Smith and, that whole, SMI Corporation to get that back and get the interest back. It's good racing. It has the capability of being great racing. We just need to get it back to where it was.
Yeah, I look forward to seeing. I love the fact that they've tried to do something. I mean, they did the concrete.
Mm-hmm.
That thing they did before working in the upper groove didn't work worth a flip.
No.
I think it's a good thing, and maybe we'll see some two wide racing up there instead of just the dive bomb pass that Jeff Gordon perfected a couple of years ago. All right, big news. Tons of. Stuff that on Twitter talking about this and stuff. Eric Jones, already a driver now for Joe Gibbs Racing, will be going to field the second entry for or drive the second entry for Furniture Row Racing. It'll be the 77 sponsored by 5-Hour Energy. That's a sponsor Cliff Boyer or Clint Boyer may have just lost. So kind of unique to see that.
Yeah, do they have enough money to field two full-time teams? It's a small operation there. I guess they've done their homework and they understand that they do have that. Jones going to that, it's interesting. It really is interesting going to Furniture Row.
But
Eric Jones is good. Eric Jones is a good young driver. And, he stepped in, was it last year at Bristol
for Kyle Busch.
And did a tremendous job. Flew up, I think, after the truck race from somewhere else. I forgot where it was. I think he had flying from North Carolina up at Bristol. And, it's a good young driver. I'm looking forward to seeing how it works. But I don't see 5-Hour Energy fielding two cars, like a Bass Pro Shops or anything like that.
Yeah, it should be. Yeah, I'd say Boyer's probably gone. But, there could be other sponsors, things in the works for SHR. He may take over the Mobile One deal from Tony Stewart. All right, checker flag, black flag, and we need to do this quick so we can go to break. All right, so my checker flag for Watkins Glen was Kyle Busch. I love the fact, and I said it, yes, Kyle Busch. I love the fact that
I'm recording, so.
Please do. That he's willing to try anything to win a race. I mean, to be able to do what he did twice and about, going to the fence both times and was just mad because it didn't stick.
So almost wrecking a bunch of cars, that's your...
Okay. Keywords almost, and he would have wrecked himself because he would have been the only one to hit the wall, but on the outside had no other chance than to try to outbreak him and outbeat him down to turn one. Almost done that. My black flag, of course, A.J. Allmendinger. What a pansy move by him to hit somebody, knock him out of the way. I understand it's the only race he'll ever have a chance to win, that and Sonoma, but really, quit hitting people in the back and ruining good finishes. Jason Hildebrand.
Checkered flag goes to Denny Hamlin. Surprise there. I mean, the guys ran well. I didn't think he had it in him, to be honest with you. You look at just the two road courses this year. Should have won the first one out in California and wound up winning this one. So, hats off to him. Did an excellent job in that Toyota this past weekend. Black flag, I'm going Jimmy Johnson. That's what happens when you run back there. And then when you get two penalties, So it's kind of what happens to you, self-inflicted wounds there. It causes you to crash out and bring out the red flag.
My checker flag is road course racing. I love it. It's great. We don't have enough of it. It's the beating and banging I remember as a youth.
I bet you think it needs to be in the chase.
I would love to see. I think they need two. I don't want this to become a road course, corporation where they're running road courses every other week. But I would love to see one more outside the chase, and I'd love to see one inside the chase. I think four would be a good round. We have four super speedway races. We had Talladega and Daytona twice. I think four road course races would be a good balance and get rid of a couple of those mile and a halfs and stuff that's You know, we don't need to be going to Pocono twice. We don't need to be going to, you know, Texas. Kansas, Texas, those type of, you know, those, you know, Phoenix. Although Phoenix is not a bad race, but you know, why are we going to some of these tracks twice? Well, I know why, because there's money and all that sort of stuff. But I'd love to see another road course. So that would be my checkered flag, my black flag, and Jason hit on it. You know, I was gonna pick Jimmy Johnson. You can throw Kevin Harvick into that same You know, guys that are top of the list. Guys that when you start talking about championships or championship contenders, you know, you cannot make mistakes and get yourself in the junk and put yourself back there where you're running with guys that are struggling week in and week out, because what happens is you get wrecked and it's a bad day. You can get away with it now. Kevin Harvick can get away with it this week, but this is the kind of stuff that led to Kevin Harvick taking that early exit last year, and those kind of issues have kind of crept back up. It looks eerily similar to last year. So I wonder if they can find a way to kind of, you know, create some positive momentum and moving forward heading into the chase. We don't want to see, Kevin Harvick fans don't want to see things like we saw last year in Chase, where you got to go out and win Dover. You got to go out and do some of these things because you're struggling and not winning enough races. They got to start winning races. You can't do it by racing back there with Tweedledee and Tweedledum.
Or Danica Patrick.
You know, for the first time in a long time, I didn't get an email saying, hey, it's Blooming Monday. You know, I mean, I always get those things, and I didn't even get one this week, which is kind of strange. But, you know, you think about it, and we talked about, you know, the road courses and whatnot. NASCAR needs to sit and think about how many of these chase races will sell out. And they just sold out that thing this weekend.
That's a great point.
You know, I mean, your weather's still there intact at that point when the chase starts. Move it around, shift it around. How many of these tracks will sell out? And I'll guarantee you, none of them.
Well they don't care about that because they make all their money off TV
deals. Yeah, so it's pretty much where the
that well's going to run dry one of these days.
One of these days. If the racing continues on a trend like it is now, then, you know, then your TV money starts to dry up a little bit. It's not $6 billion. It may be... it may be half of that, and then you're these track owners are looking. They're not making enough money on just the TV rights. They've got to be able to find a way to get people in the seats, and if the racing's poor, it's hard to get people in there.
You already see a lot more aggressive ticket pricing and packages and things like that. The tracks are trying to get people in there, and they do a good job. They do a really, really fantastic job. But you know, I know a lot of folks that have loved racing for years. And, you know, give up their season tickets at Talladega. And, you know, we talk about it, and he says, you know, I don't make time on my Sundays to sit down and watch races anymore.
Right.
Because I don't just enjoy it. It's not what it used to be.
Well, and it's not black and white at your house anymore either. It's actually 65-inch color flat screen. So makes it a little different. All right, we need to go to break. And speaking of ticket packages, next week, make sure you tune in. We've got some ticket packages for Bristol to give away next week. We'll do that a couple different ways. Make sure you tune in to find out. We might even get Scott to maybe put something on Twitter or Facebook to tell you how we can do that before next week if you follow us on Twitter and Facebook. All right, when we come back, a couple big things. We're going to do a Rushmore real quick of the 80s and 90s drivers, and then we'll do our power rankings and Chase Grid. You're listening to The Finish Line, powered by Home Rate Mortgage on 101.3
The Buzz.
MLS 2239. What would you do with all that cash? Listen up, y'all. Ben Phillips here. Home Rate Mortgage. 805-9100. $1,200. That's how much we just put back in a Saudi Daisy family's pocket per month. All they did was pick up the phone. 805-9100. That's 805-9100. Get that quick quote now. 805-9100. HomeRateMortgage.com.
Y'all step back to 1864 and relive the South's finest hour. Witness a moving performance and dig into the greatest Southern recipes direct from the Confederate White House. Loads of fun, food, and unfiltered Southern history. The Button Willow Civil War Dinner Theater is just minutes from Chattanooga. Y'all got a call for reservations, 658-7478. We're straightening out Yankees one at a time.
Hey folks, Dale from Dale's Heating Air. We all know things work better when they are maintained and serviced on a regular basis. Your car, your yard, even relationships. Well, your heating and air system is no different. When is the last time your heating and air conditioning was serviced? Can't remember? Well, spring is just around the corner, and warm weather will be here soon. What's that mean for your heating and air conditioning system? It means it's time to call Dale's Heating and Air to make sure old man winter didn't take its toll, and your air conditioning is ready to keep your family cool and comfortable this season. When your heating and air conditioning is working at its best, you get the comfort you want, save money, and your system will last longer. Now is the best time to call Dale's Heating and Air to schedule maintenance on your heating and air conditioning system. For service you can trust, just call Dale's. 236-4600. That's 236-4600 or online at justcalldales.com.
MLS 2239. Do you want to achieve the American dream in 2016? Listen up, y'all. I'm Ben Phillips with Home Rate Mortgage, 805-9100. We just helped a police officer purchase his first home in East Brainerd. Now he's grilling and chilling on his back deck. The American dream. You could achieve it with no money down options. Why wouldn't you call? 805-9100, HomeRateMortgage.com.
Welcome back to The Finish Line, powered by Home Rate Mortgage on 101.3 The Buzz. Jamie Kyle, Jason Hildebrand, Scott Webb, and a little thunder. Thunder happened to this guy we have on the phone this past Friday.
Yes, it did.
In a real quick manner. Got him a free trip down to Memorial Hospital.
Listen, the man just can't stay off radio.
He can't. And, you know, the thing is as much pressure as this NASCAR puts on him, I'm going to blame, and I was blaming the 88 when he first texted us on Friday, you know, and tell him that's what gave him the heart attack. But maybe it's just Hendrick organization altogether. I don't know. But Arnold Tarpley joins us now. Arnold, good to have you on the radio. I hope you are now relaxing in your lounge chair at home and not the one I saw you in the other day.
No, I was not relaxing in the one you saw me in today. I finally got away from that one today and come home.
Well, that's good they finally let you out. I know you were telling me how much you loved the hospital food they were serving you and all that good stuff. And so I hope they sent you a to-go plate.
Oh, that hospital food is so good. You know.
All right, so Arnold, while we got you on the phone, I wanted to do two things. We're going to, you know, since we have an off week this week, we, you know, the Chase Grid and stuff like that, we can talk about next week. Well, I wanted to do like a Rushmore top four, five drivers of.
Rushmore's got four.
I want to add five. Four or five. We're not historians in here. I mean, you know, I have never been to the place, but I knew there was four heads on there, but we could do five. All right, so
things spun out of control.
There we go. Mount Rushmore of the 80s and 90s and drivers. So I wanted to kind of to go first there because I wanted to get these out of the way. And to be honest with you, in the early 80s, I was kind of too young to remember, unlike a couple of people in here and one on the phone. But I'm gonna go with Bill Elliott, Dale Earnhardt, Darrell Waltrip, and Cale Yarborough.
Your 80s and 90s.
That's more in the 80s, but yes. Well, yeah, I mean, you only have so many spots. I mean, you could put the Allisons in there, Richard Petty. I mean, you could put – I don't like the 200 wins when you're – not everybody else.
Can I do five? Go ahead. You said, okay,
sure.
This is five. Okay. I'm going Dale Earnhardt, Darrell Waltrip.
Yep.
I'm going – Bill Elliott, Rusty Wallace, and Jeff Gordon.
So you're going more 90s then?
No, that's
Jeff Gordon wasn't in the 80s.
But he's won in the 90s. This is 80s and 90s on here.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. That's fine.
There
was no official rules for this thing. I was like, what? You know, we need something to talk about.
In 80s, the 80s and 90s.
Right. So he got the 90s. Yeah. It's good. Scott Webb.
No, let Arnold go.
What you got, Arnold?
Arnold Tarpley.
Oh, gotta put Giles in there. Darrell Waltrip, Dale Earnhardt Sr., without a doubt. I understand what you say about Richard Petty, but you've almost got to think about him in that group.
Amen.
And I probably have to agree with Bill Elliott on that.
I ditto Arnold Tarpley, the historian, the NASCAR historian of this bunch. I don't. How can you not put Richard Petty on a list when you're talking 80s and 90s? You know, obviously Dale Earnhardt has to be on the list. Dale Waltrip has to be on the list.
Forget about Kelly Hart. How many Daytona 500s?
Yarbrough, six championships. Yes, I mean he's definitely one to that you could consider. Absolutely
consider six championships, or was it five? Five championships mm-hmm. he won. Dale Earnhardt and Jimmy Johnson and Richard Petty have been the only ones to beat that. And consider, Webb?
What?
Consider?
Kelly yeah, Arrow? I mean, I considered him, yes.
Oh, yeah, you don't put him on there.
Because it...
Well, you need to make up your mind how many we're talking about, four or five.
Listen, Arnold, you're not in the position to be talking the way you are
now. I like
now.
It. That's the way to come at him, Arnold.
Anyway, I mean, you know, I don't have written out rules to this,
you know,
so...
I hate that my list, he disagrees with my list, so he's going to chastise it.
It's
you know,
not the first
fine.
Time that you've ever disagreed with me as well. So
oh,
I mean,
no.
That happens all the time.
That happens weekly, but it's happened three times a night today exactly. already. So
three. I think it was four. That's how many heads are up there, right?
Yeah.
All right. So that's what we're sticking with then. So you've got, what was that again, Scott? I interrupted you. What was your five?
I went how many are we picking, four or five?
Tell me, we could go five.
I mean, if you go five, I'm picking, you know, I'll put Yarbrough on the
list.
There
we go. Good. That's good. I'm glad you added them on there. So I don't agree with the Petty thing. I mean, you know, if you were putting them on as far as championships and wins and stuff like that, and that was the thing, yeah, let him go. But to me, he raced too many places that nobody else got to race.
But I didn't see Petty in the 80s.
Or the
90s,
yeah.
When I look back, I think of Petty 70s and back, not right. the 80s. That's why I left Petty off and put Crusty Rusty on there.
Crusty Rusty. Who's still around, by the way.
Yeah.
And an MRN. You can catch him on MRN.
And I forgot Lake Speed, but, you know.
Yeah, that was big. Arnold, what's your take? We just had a pretty long conversation on the road course deal. What's your take on road courses?
I love them. I want three more. Hey, let's get some good road courses in there and make them work a little bit harder on that stuff. Right now... Everything is clean air, and the only place you really see the beating and banging left anymore is road courses.
It's true. So, I mean, would you want to see more road course races, Arnold, or would you want to see just a road course race added into the chase?
I'd like to see a road course race added into the chase and probably one more in the regular season.
It sounds like, hey, listen, that sounds like somebody said that earlier in this show.
Yeah.
I'm glad that somebody else out there is smart and agrees with somebody else on this program.
Wow.
I believe, almost verbatim, I'm not going to name names, but somebody said four total, one more in the regular season, one in the chase.
But I mean, what do you
That's
do?
That's brilliant.
What do you
Arnold,
do on
that
though?
That is brilliant.
What do you do? Do you add just two races at those two same two facilities,
listen,
or do you add something else?
You add Road America, you're and then you add put it. Sonoma in the chase.
I'm all in. I'm all in on that. Road America is awesome. It's long. It's got some long straightaways. It'll be a great spring to summer race. The way that track looks. Then you have Sonoma. I mean, that to me is the ultimate road course in the circuit yep. right now. And so you add that in there.
Take away Pocono. Take away Texas.
Yeah. I mean, there's. I mean, I could.
Bruton Smith would still have his chase race.
How many times are we going to go to Kansas?
Yeah, but you say take away Texas, and you got to think about the TV revenue from that. Fort Worth's a pretty good size.
It is.
You know, viewing area and stuff like that. I could see Pocono where all those, you know, Jimbo's in the mountains, they're not really watching, you know,
and let's not rip it too hard. There was a lot of people that showed up on that Monday.
Well, there was, but I'm just saying as far as you said earlier, Scott, that TV is what kind of rules the roost. And then Jason said that, you know, that well's going to run dry before too long. I think right now that's what NASCAR has to hang their hat on. That's what these track owners are getting paid on. So you've got to figure out a way to make sure that you get the most out of your TV dollar.
Oh, there's no doubt that is accurate. But, you know, at some point, where does that line cross? Where is the TV? Is the TV revenue going to continue to go up if the quality of the product is not what it was in the past? If it gets worse, and this is a stretch. I thought for overall this season, I think the changes they've made have been beneficial. We've seen some good races, definitely seen some great finishes. But, you know, the last few weeks have been concerning. The racing has not been. Now, could that just be that, you know, I'm all for getting rid of, you know, let's get rid of Indianapolis, the track. You know, let's not run the oval. Let's run the road course there. Run that road course, you know, because the race is horribly boring and has been boring. So I think there's things they could do that would kind of be the best of both worlds. If you're not going to get rid of some tracks, but you know, I think, and Jason, we've talked about this forever. You know, manipulating the schedule a little bit would do nothing but help benefit the sport and make it relevant. Part of the problem is once you get into your playoffs, man, it's conference football season. It's hard to stay up on that. I think the season's too long, but you know that's probably not going
to
change.
But you've kind of seen the changes that they're willing to make NASCAR. That is with the Xfinity Series. I don't want to think that there's something else they could do with the Xfinity Series to make it better. But what do? They go and make it to where there's two heat races, and then you have one final race or whatever at Indianapolis. Is that the only thing that they could come up with? You know, to try to increase viewership and try to increase track attendance, because to me, it's not much different.
Go ahead, Arnold.
Well, in doing that, they did try to throw back to the Saturday night dirt track race where you have heat races. So that generated a lot of interest from the older fans who like that type of racing, but is that the only answer you can come up with? That needs to be more.
Well, I wonder a lot, you know, and we haven't even talked about this year. I mean, we asked Alex about it earlier in the year, but, you know, they still got to get a sponsor for the series.
I think there's you probably asked Alex that question off the air, and he's probably got a different answer for you. I think there's probably a pretty good idea. Not that we know, and I'm not sitting here holding back information from you. But I think they probably have a pretty good idea because it's still a relevant product, and there's still going to be somebody out there willing to pay the dollar figures to especially the way the sport promotes it. I mean, So you know, I think that would be well spent advertising dollars for somebody out there that especially if they find a relevant product that can be correlated with racing. So money is not an issue right now. What we're saying is we're trying to make changes that would make the product a little bit better and a little more cohesive and make it a little more have some flow to the season. It just seems like we have a great start to the season when there's all this fired up about Daytona, and then we kind of hit the summer and it's kind of a lull. We're going to Pocono every other weekend. We're going to go back to Michigan. I mean, it just seems like there's things we could do to change the schedule to kind of keep the momentum and keep the focus on racing. And they haven't been willing to make those changes yet.
Yeah, and that's going to be something for the future because you think about product and you think about, you know, a sponsor coming into a product. You said yet. I think that's the key word. If they get a short-term agreement with a sponsor, I think finding the next one, if they continue along this path, is going to be very difficult. All right, power rankings. So I'll go ahead and get it started. Arnold, you got yours memorized?
Well, I've got something.
You're looking at Google Docs. That's my guy right there. All right, so
exactly right.
I've got the 18 of Kyle Busch, the 2 of Brad Keselowski, 78 of Martin Truex Jr., the 4 of Kevin Harvick, and the 22 of Mr. Joey Logano, Jason Hildebrand.
Yeah, I've got Kyle Busch in first, Brad Keselowski second, Kevin Harvick third, Kurt Busch fourth, and Joey Logano fifth.
Mr. Arnold Tarpley.
And I've got Kyle Busch first, Kevin Harvick in second, Carl Edwards in third, Brad Keselowski in fourth, and the 41 of Kurt Busch still in fifth. To be honest with you, I didn't see the race, and I couldn't see any reason to change mine this week.
Well, and you did, you
Listen,
know.
Listen, that's not an excuse, Arnold.
You wanted to add the ambulance driver in on number 6. I know what you were trying to do to get you down from Cleveland Memorial.
Yeah, we're not. That's not an excuse, man.
Yeah, he's trying to bump some cars out of the way for me, I think, too.
Make room, baby. That's what Brad Keselowski said. Listen, you're going to spin out in front of me. I'm just going to move you right out of the way. My list is essentially the same this week. I really didn't see anything in a race to change that. Kyle Busch sits on top. I got Harvick in there, but I really contemplated flip-flopping him and Keselowski. But Harvick is second. Keselowski's third. Truex has been very strong the last few weeks. I got him to fourth. And I did put Joey Logano into my list this week. Not that I'm the biggest Joey Logano fan, but he did a great job with a banged-up front of that car and found a way to finish the race in second place. So good run for them.
His dad probably helped him. All right, so that is our show this week. We got Fast Talk coming up after this. Scotty?
Yep. Doug Rice welcomes Jeff Hammonds as his co-host. Clint Bowyer stops by, and Chris Buescher calls in. Buescher's still 6 points back from 30th. He's got to get in the top 30 to be able to qualify for the chase.
Anything you want to know about NASCAR, it's on 101.3 The Buzz on Wednesday nights. You've been listening to The Finish Line, powered by Home Rate Mortgage on 101.3
The Buzz.